two, one, let's do it. Now, we're back into the line of general topics, and we're going to try to make this as applicable as possible to our everyday lives. And the topic we're starting on is wisdom. Wisdom is really the foundation of all things. There's a crazy power that comes when one gains wisdom. And so life in itself is easy. It is very easy when you have wisdom on your side. And so I'm gonna ask through a couple of questions, and then we're gonna look at certain verse, and this verse will be like a foundation topic as we break down wisdom. And so I'll give you the verse now as we start off. The verse is in Ecclesiastes 7:12. It's a similar verse I gave you last week. Earth, if you want to help Ashley find the verse. Teach her how to find, don't just show her. See? Teach her. Yeah, the index. Yeah, good. And this is our foundation verse here. We're going to build from here. And we pointed out this verse before we finished last week. And so we're really going to dig deep into that now. Would someone like to read Ecclesiastes 7:12? Who would like to read it?
For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense, but the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it.
Wisdom gives life to those who have it. In another, who's got it? Earth, do you have an NIV version? What does it say on your? You can't change it? Let me see if I've got it here. Actually, I'll just quickly to type it here. No, I don't need that, sorry. I've got here the ESV version. You got NIV? Yeah?
Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this. Wisdom preserves those who have it.
And then in the ESV it says, for the protection of wisdom is like a protection of money. And the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves life of him who has it. So they're saying a fair bit of things there. We can pick out a couple of words. We can pick out protection or shelter or in some Bibles. And we can also pick out, in other Bibles it's saying defense. So it's the same word, protection, defense, shelter. And then it's also saying, he uses the word here, excellence. That's another word it's also using. And then you see the word that he says, wisdom gives life to those who have it. So there's some key words there we really need to think about. We see there's defense, there is excellence, and there is life. It's very interesting components put together. Wisdom covers, wisdom gives you a line of defense, the ability to be excellent, and life in itself. So what is this wisdom? Who would like to say something? What is wisdom? In your understanding. Then there's no right or wrong in whatever you say. What do you think is wisdom after we just read this?
The application of knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge.
True, true. Anyone else wants to say anything about wisdom?
Wisdom is God.
True, true, true.
Wisdom is love.
That is true. That is true. That is true.
It's like the timing of you applying that knowledge. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I guess it's like a knowledge of its own, when to apply that knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. And the definition I always like to give wisdom, because I set out and thought about it years after years of what wisdom really was. And it's what Brother Dead was saying before, that but there's a big tweak that she missed out, which is very essential. Because wisdom, I believe, is the application of knowledge based on understanding. The most important bit there is that last bit. Based on understanding. Write it down somewhere. It's going to save your life. It's based on understanding. If there is no understanding, the whole thing cancels out. Whatever you think you know is rubbish. And so that in itself is already a great start. The application of knowledge based on understanding. So that tells us that you may have information, facts that you call knowledge, but it's useless. That also tells us that you may try to apply something you know. It is also useless. The only thing that is effective is the application of something you know and understand. And the depth in which you understand it is the deciding factor in the level of results you get. The depth in which you understand that knowledge is the deciding factor in the results you get, in the manifestation you get, in the miracles you get. Yes, understanding. And so, now the next question I'll ask on the floor is, why do we need wisdom? Why do we need it in our everyday life? Why is it important? Is it even important? Is it? Why? Pass me the mic. Why is it important?
That's right.
You nervous? Don't be nervous.
What I can think of is like our driving and the rules on the road.
Yeah.
I think that's a good example. Having the knowledge of the road rules, applying it, because if you don't apply it, you'll understand what the outcome could be.
Yeah.
Which is you can harm yourself and others on the road.
Yeah. Anybody else? Why do we need knowledge? Do we even need it? Do we?
I know this sounds stupid, but can I ask, what's the definition of wisdom?
No, there's no such thing as stupid. Don't ever say that again. Stupidity cannot exist when a question is asked. The say was, wisdom is the application of knowledge based on understanding. Is that for you to write?
Yes. Yeah. Then what's the difference between the intelligence? Like,
that's a very good question. We actually get to it because it's one of the, I think, here. Because There is those who call themselves smart and those who call themselves intelligent.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, without even going further, let me say it now. Intelligence is usually, it's a man-made word that people are using to describe somebody that's better than them. Think about it. Whenever you call somebody intelligent, it's always in comparison to self. It is always. It's never, I can do this thing, this person can also do this thing, this person is intelligent. No. It's always, I can't do it. So if this person can do it, they must be intelligent. But intelligence in itself holds, to me, intelligence holds no value. You can be as intelligent as you want to be and still fail at life miserably. 100%. Do you know how many people are super smart, but their life is a disgrace? It's broken down. It's all over the place. Now, people think because you can do addition, you can do mathematics, straight away it gets you on top of the world. Matter of fact, the truth is, most people that wanted to be physicists ended up as physics teachers. And there's nothing wrong with teacher. It's just telling you that they had the intelligence to get there, but they didn't get there. Because intelligence is not the deciding factor, whether you become successful or not. Matter of fact, if they were going off intelligence alone, someone like me could never own businesses. Someone like me could never be at the top. There is so many intelligent people who have yet to make it anyway. And we don't even have to look far. Look at the education system. Probably 60 to 70% of people I graduated with who got super high grades, I ain't doing nothing with it now. They ain't doing nothing with it. And you look at their life, there is no results. So now, is there something wrong with being intelligent? No, there's nothing wrong. But intelligence alone could not guide you through the ups and downs of life. It will not keep you going. It will not keep you going. It will not bring you to results. It will not bring you to an outcome. It would not solidify your position in this world of success. Intelligence alone is useless. Because intelligence is based on one thing and one thing only. Information. Because look at the school system, right? We went in, a certain person gets an A and so forth, and they work super hard on it. But what did they really do? They just sat there and just memorized. But when it comes to life, what can you memorize about life? Can you? Can you memorize the pattern of success? If that's the case, then everybody will be successful. Can you memorize what it takes to be great? Can you memorize how to overcome depression? Can you memorize? So that tells us a thing. Information alone is the lowest form of anything. And it's the same even with God. If you come and just memorize, see, this Bible, I've never finished it. I don't even think I've read 20% or 10% of it. I know several people that have read this multiple times, finished it, and they came to me and said, Joel, oh, you're missing out, mate. I finished this. And I look at them, they've just recalled information. It is just a bunch of information put out there. And they can quote you every verse there is out there. But there is no results. How long are you going to remember? And so intelligence in itself, there's nothing wrong with it. But anybody that relies on the intelligence alone to get them somewhere will not get there. Guarantee you. There is more to life than intelligence. And matter of fact, people that end up in higher positions in life aren't the smartest of all. I guarantee you. Look at anybody in leadership position, they're not the smartest. By a mile away. Matter of fact, companies like Google and so forth, big companies, you know what they do? They call out you guys that think you're so intelligent, come and work for the lower level, do all the hard work, and the people on top chill. And they get the money. And that's the reality of business. You go in there 9 to 5 every day, pop, pop, pop. Sometime over time, you break yourself, you kill yourself, you get frustrated. You work hard to get the company moving forward. And the people on top don't do as much work as you do. You don't get paid very much because what? Your value is not there. You're intelligent, but it doesn't guarantee how much we value you. There's more to life than just being smart. And so going back to wisdom, wisdom in itself, it says here, brings forth defense, protection, as a shelter, excellence in life. And if we're still on the topic of intelligence and smarting and so forth, wisdom doesn't bring you just smart, average, achiever. It brings forth excellence. That is the highest range. Excellence. And it compares here, it says, wisdom is like money. People say with money you can purchase anything you want. So is it with wisdom. You can have anything you want, need, for yourself, for your family. Not only yourself, for your family, for anybody you go into, and you can teach them how to fish for themselves, and you can build a whole hierarchy on wisdom. And the most important thing, when he summarizes what wisdom can give you, he says life. So then we move to the next question. How do we know somebody is wise? How do we know one is wise? Because we hear that a lot. Oh, this person is wise beyond their age. I hear that all the time. Yeah. Sorry, let's get you on the mic just for the sake of recording, yeah?
I'd say they're fruits.
They're fruits? What do you mean by they're fruits?
Depending on what they sow. I guess thought-based and situation-based.
Yeah.
How they choose to react and act to their situation.
Yeah. That's a very good point there. And if we're talking about the basis of fruits, I'd like to put a question out there. Does that mean that if somebody is making money, are they wise because they're making money? Why not? Because that's what a lot of people see as success, right? Someone is making money, so they're successful. Well, matter of fact, the whole world is governed by that understanding of success. Whoever is on TV making money must be very wise. Why not? Why is wealth not an indication of wisdom? Or is wealth an indication of wisdom? Maybe it is. Is it?
I think there's a difference between being rich and then being wealthy.
Yeah.
They say being rich is you have a lot of money, but wealthy is like when you don't go to a job or stop working, how much money can you live off by?
Yeah.
But going back to your question,
I think the terminology, if we're using that definition, then the terminology should be rich. Is being rich an indication of wisdom?
No, because
why not?
Let's say someone, you can go to a job, work 2 jobs, 3 jobs, make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're wise. They're just they're going to obey their boss.
Yeah.
Trading their time for money. And then also someone can go from, because I hear this a lot now, and like a lot of winners, they go broke within like 2 to 3 years because they don't know how to manage money.
Yeah.
They went from, let's say, 1500 or whatever Fortnite to all of a sudden like $2 million. They just don't know how to manage, so they just spend on whatever.
Yeah.
And that's like a sign of not having wisdom on what to buy.
Yeah.
They just want to spend. And then they'll just get back to being broke. And they go, oh, what happened and stuff like that. But like, if you have wisdom, you'll know how to use that money to make more money.
Mm.
Not just buying stuff.
That's a good point. Anyone else have something to say? How do we know one is wise? And Jesse said a very interesting concept about acting and reacting, but we branched off a little bit from it when I heard the sense of success coming in. That's why I asked if being rich is a sign of somebody being wise. Matter of fact, who is rich in this world? Who really is rich? If you cannot sleep at night, are you rich? Are you actually rich?
I saw a quote from Warren Buffett. He said, if you can't figure out another way to make more money rather than your job, you're like one step away from being broke. I think that was the quote. I can't remember.
You said, can you sleep if you're rich?
Yeah.
Something like that. I think you can sleep if you're wise, because you understand the knowledge of just everything around you, I guess, and you have that peace.
Yeah.
So you can sleep like a baby.
And the reason I ask that question is because there's a lot of rich people that cannot sleep. They're high on medication. They overdose of drugs, overdose on medication. And so that puts us in a very interesting predicament. Because now, we said before that when I asked the question, do we even need knowledge? We said yes. And if I went back to that and I said, is even 60-70% of the world, do they even use knowledge? What do you think? We said we need it. But does 60-70% of the world, or even put an assumption out there, do they use knowledge? Does the general population use knowledge? And just to correct it, not knowledge, sorry, wisdom. Does the general population use wisdom? We say we need it, but do we use it?
Unlikely, no. We don't really see many people applying that knowledge.
Yeah.
You see a lot of people talk about it, but they don't apply. You can just see it with their results and stuff, like whatever they're talking about. And that's why it's not really effective when those people giving like certain advice on those certain topics.
Yeah.
And so that other person to believe in, because they're not seeing the results that, like, for that person, from that person.
Yeah.
Also, we studied knowledge before early on the year.
Yeah.
And we talked about how we are, there's only two masters.
Yeah.
That knowledge come from. So one is God, and then the other one is Satan.
Yeah.
And we talked about, like, whatever God calls good, the devil calls evil, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So when it comes to wisdom from knowledge of God, no, we don't really see anyone using it.
But here's another question, just to branch off that before people ask other questions, is there even wisdom coming from the devil? Is it even possible for him to produce wisdom?
I'll say no, because
knowledge is there, but can he produce wisdom?
But he's using the knowledge because his state of mind fall out of the context. So he can't be wise.
Yeah. And so, any questions? I can see a lot of questions coming in. Does anybody have any question before I ask the next question?
What was your question about the devil, Satan?
I was asking, can he even be wise to begin with? Is it possible?
Well, no, because, like, you're using knowledge and applying it, right? That's wisdom.
Yeah.
But with his mindset and what he did, he caused his own downfall.
Yeah.
And then he dragged a third of the angels to think like him.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, had the same fate as him. So, no, like, when you think of the devil, he's not really wise, because why would you, like, betray God, you know what I mean? How could it possibly end up good for him, thinking that he can overthrow the one that where knowledge come from in the first place?
We'll leave there right there. Unless anybody has anything to add on that. But we'll come back on this topic on another day. That's a big topic there. Now, going back on wisdom in itself, the last place I was asking was, how do we know one person is wise? And I know Jesse's talked about the fruits. And let's go back in that word, the fruits. What fruits are we looking for to tell whether somebody is wise? Because this is going to be a difference for us to be able to discern who to attach ourselves with, who not to attach ourselves with, who to take advice from, who not to take advice from. We must know the fruits that we need to look at to identify who's who and what's what. Can anybody think of any fruits that are indication of wisdom?
You could take a step back and just look at the person you're observing and see how they act in any given situation.
Yeah.
Or even just their life lived, or if somebody would saying he's a fitness fanatic.
Yeah.
Obviously he should have a, good physique. If he's too overweight or too underweight, he's not walking his talk.
Yeah.
I think that love and patience is
good indicators.
Are good indicators of wisdom. Yeah,
that is true. That is true.
I guess just because with the perception you have of the other person, of them being created the same as you. Like you can't really look at them above yourself or below yourself.
Yeah.
And just being patient in the state of mind that they're in, knowing that yeah, just knowing the knowledge, you know, about who they are and that they will come to that.
Yeah.
At their time. Yeah.
Good point, good point. Anybody else has anything to add about identification of wisdom? And I did mention two very important components, which is love and patience. Matter of fact, I'm actually point on that. Why do you think patience is a good identifier for wisdom? Why patience? What does patience show us?
Patience shows that you have understanding, I guess.
Patience also shows you that you have maturity.
That's a very, level very of good point
maturity.
There. So if we see two people in the same situation and one person is chilled back and being patient, you would say that person is more mature than the other person. Is this where we're going?
Well, it gives them, like, you know, that they have some sort of self-control.
Yeah.
Not, like, reacting and, like, freaking out or whatever.
Yeah. Self-control is a very good word to describe that patience. The art of being able to manage yourself. And I think that's what Benedict was getting at, self-management. And ideally, that's what wisdom does for us. Wisdom equips us with the art of management. Why? Because your family, your close circle, people out there, all these people play a part in your company. And you are the CEO of that company. You must manage every single individual in your company. So with that being said, you must now start thinking, because we've never thought about it this way. You now must thinking, this family member here, with their character, with the way they present themselves, with the way they act, with the way they react, with the level of self-control, what position am I giving them in my company? This friend here, I must assess them and give them a position in my company. Because the higher level you put them in your company, the more impact and effect they have in you. And the company could go falling down straight away. The company could lose shares. The company could lose success. The company could lose a lot of things. God is in the business, is in the art of business. We never understand God, but He's in the art of business. You must, and we must, be able to look at our life from a business standpoint. Who looks after the finance of my life? Which person have you given yourself to as an advisor? If somebody's part of the counselor board that you go through and advise all the time to get advices about what to do. You've placed somebody that's not supposed to be there high in your company. And life is the greatest company out there. Matter of fact, life is the only company out there. If you can manage the company of life, life will give you revenues. If you can manage the employees of your life, your company will be successful. If you can manage the sales, if you can manage how many times you present yourself out there, the meetings you go to, if you can manage all that stuff, if you can manage the people you talk to, if you can manage who you've hired as your marketing manager, Because there's people out here acting as a marketing manager. They do the works in terms of putting a mouth out there. And so some people have associated themselves with marketing managers who have gone off there and did very bad marketing of who they are. Who have you given information and knowledge about your life that has done bad marketing for your growth? No names, please. But now we got to think. Life is a company. And you must decide, because you are the CEO. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to wait for if karma, if this, if luck. Luck? You must make revenue. There is no such thing as luck. What is the plan? There must be results. And some people think that they can run away from results of life, but nobody can run away from it. Whether you apply the knowledge you have and transform it into wisdom to impact and bring your life to a level of success, or whether you don't, there will still be results. The results can be negative or positive, but there will be results to show forth. And so when I understood this concept, I realized that life is not what we think it is. Because I've spent a lot of time with people. They come in and say, Joe, my private life. And I look at them and say, before I used to think, yeah, that's your private life. But now there is no such thing as private life. There is no such thing. Private life does not exist. Everything you do behind closed doors, we will see the fruits of it. Guarantee you. Everything you think you're hiding, your company results, revenue, expenses, as we go through and audit your life, we'll see it. We will see it. You cannot hide your revenues. You cannot hide your audits. Matter of fact, everybody audits everybody. The greatest company, which is your life, and the greatest source to bring forth life in your life is wisdom. Because wisdom gives you three very powerful aspects that controls all areas. And these powerful aspects is what's discussed in Ecclesiastes 7:12. It is a protection, excellence, and life itself. Now, if we talk about, let's say we talk about protection, how does wisdom protect you? How does wisdom protect us?
Well, applying that wisdom is applying that knowledge to get, the understanding. So it protects you from, since you understand it, if you apply this knowledge at this certain time, certain aspects, the results, you apply it so you dodge the outcome, which could be negative or whatever to you.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, an example like, let's say a couple of mates or something invite you go out for drinking.
Yeah.
And you have that knowledge that they'll probably try to get you drunk.
Yeah.
So you applying the knowledge is the best thing is probably just not be there in the first place.
Yeah.
Because you understand if you're there, there's a good chance that they might plan something to, spike your drink or whatever, you don't know.
Yeah.
So I guess like the best way to not get eaten by a croc is don't go next to the croc infested waters.
Yeah.
What's your question again?
The first aspect that wisdom gives us, it says protection.
Oh yeah.
So the question was, how does wisdom protect us?
Well, when you have wisdom, you have everything you need to know. And it says here, can I read?
Where is this?
So I'm on Ephesians 1:17, if you guys want to go there. Are you guys there? Yeah.
Ephesians 1:17.
Yeah.
Give us a second. That's all right. That's all right.
17 to 23. Yep, all right. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who feels all in all.
Yeah.
Do you guys understand that?
There's a lot of things going in here. There is a lot there of things lot. Going on.
But yeah, just like when you do have this. Sorry.
So, is this supposed to answer the question?
Well,
how is it protection?
Yeah, well, when you have wisdom, you have everything you need to know, and you're not. There's no worries. Like, you live in peace, you know.
So how?
Because you understand your place.
Does it
yeah.
protect you?
Yeah.
So you have that knowledge. You have every knowledge you need in life, right? But how does that knowledge protect you?
It protects you. It protects you if it's applied. If you apply it in your life every yeah. day.
Yeah.
And... yeah, just to the point it becomes natural to you. Yeah.
Can wisdom save you from a car accident?
No, but it can help raise the safety because you only can control what you do. But there's other people on the road might not have that wisdom or applying that wisdom of that knowledge, and then you could be the consequences of that particular person's actions.
I think yes. Just yeah, that's my answer.
I don't think someone on the road could, I don't believe that. Like, the external world will always reflect what's within, not vice versa. I don't believe, if I must have planted that into my subconscious for it to come out. I don't have any fear of going out on the road and being in an accident. I don't believe that that's going to happen. I feel like, I don't know why I'm talking about this one, but I just felt like we need to realize that everything is within. And then the outer world only reflects what's planted within the subconscious.
Yeah.
So if it's planted in your subconscious that someone's going to hit you in the car, someone's going to hit you with the car. So I just wanted to just clarify that.
Okay. No, keep going. It's good stuff.
I mean, it doesn't have to be that thought of, you know, someone's going to hit me with a car, but, you know, that sort of situation may come in a different form from a different, like, you're holding anger towards someone else. You've been holding that towards, you know, them your whole life, and it finally shows its form in a car accident.
That's interesting.
When I guess from my experience, like, you know, when you have a really good relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, you commune with each other, like you talk to each other, and He'll guide you, and He'll guide you from harm, and you just trust that, and yeah, you hear him telling you don't go here or go there, and it's your choice to follow that instruction or not.
Yeah,
you know, but it's always good from the Holy Spirit.
So why do you think we had no control over what happens?
Well, what if you, like, you parked at a traffic light or something, and then on the other side of the road, they're just mucking up, and all of a sudden you just get hit, and you're just waiting for the green light on your end?
And Zahim.
It was within you first. Something was within you. Even if it wasn't, like Cody was saying, it could be holding anger or bitterness. It was all within you. The 3D world that we see is just slow motion. The internal world that we see is our reality. I don't believe that anything that happens externally wasn't first planted from within or started from within.
I think what Sizzle's trying to say is, like, you know, the kingdom of heaven is within. And for, you know, an external force, like a car accident or something, to happen, it first had to start within yourself. And, like, that could be, you know, any form of, you know, anger or hatred or just some challenge that you haven't overcome. And your outside experience reflects what you were thinking. You know, if, you know, somebody just recently, someone close to us was saying that they had a few drinks while they were driving, and they kept on worrying that police were going to come and pull them over, and then 10 minutes later police actually pulled them over. Like, you know, who caused that? Out of, you know, how many police patrolling the area in Darwin? And
isn't this known as a coincidence? This is what I hear a lot of people say, coincidence.
Nothing's a coincidence. Sorry to break it to you, but nothing is a... Because I used to think things were a coincidence. But the one way to pick it up is, listen, sometimes you don't know what you've planted because we're too busy. We're always talking to ourselves, and sometimes you don't even know what you said to yourself 2 seconds ago. So what you've said to yourself, and if you believe it and you feel it as though it's real, that's planted in your subconscious. You put feeling together. And when you put feeling together, you create scenarios. We do it all the time. And is the audio okay? We do it all the time and we don't really, you know, realize. But for example, I was thinking about something when Cody mentioned how the kingdom of God is within us, because nothing external can ever threaten or intimidate God, right? He's sitting on his throne, he's looking, you know, nothing outside can move him. And it's the same with us. The kingdom of God is within us. External stuff doesn't move us. We just change it from within. Nothing's a coincidence. And sometimes you may forget that you had planted that seed. but it will manifest.
I was talking to one of my coworkers like a couple of days ago, and he was saying about how he doesn't like so-and-so, and this person, you know, makes me feel like this. And I said to him, so you're letting that person determine how you feel. And a lot of people don't want to take responsibility for, you know, their actions or how they feel. They want to push it on someone else. And it is something big. It is very hard to take in that responsibility and say the kingdom of heaven is within. Everything that my outside world is reflecting what's happening on the inside. And a lot of people run away from that. They don't want to take on that responsibility because then they have to say, like, well, you know, I've stuffed up this much and it's all because of me, or, you know, they don't have anybody but to blame but themselves. But in saying that, you know, you've gone through all of these experiences and they've brought you here at this point in time. They've made you who you are. Now what are you going to do? You have that knowledge to grow. And if everything happens within first and then happens on the outside, then change what's happening on the inside first.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct what you've just said. And also, it was absolutely right what you said. And it's not about, don't blame yourself, because that leads to condemnation. Because that's what I did at first when I realized that the kingdom of God was within me, that I blamed myself. I was like, I caused all of this. But change the meaning of each situation. And when I say change the meaning, for example, when I was in debt and I couldn't find a job, I had to change that meaning. And like, your subconscious doesn't know what's right or wrong. So don't look at it as like, oh, I caused me being fired. Look at it as I was too expensive, they couldn't afford me. What's right in your eyes is right. And I liked what you were saying about it's all internal. And you're talking about someone talking about the way you perceive others is how they will come out to you. And I had to swallow this one over the week, because we're all connected, we're all one. So if I perceive you as being horrible, that's how you appear to me. So it's about changing your perceptions, which are within you. And the outer world, everyone around you just reflects who you are. I think a couple months ago, I realized that everyone is yourself pushed out. And I tried to fight this over the past 2 weeks. I tried to fight this with the situation that I was dealing with. And I tried to get rid of this person because I didn't believe that I'd caused their situation and what they were doing. And it wasn't until I realized that if I continue to perceive him to be a certain way, that's how he will appear in the outer world. So I had to change my perception of him. And that goes back to what Benedette was saying, how if I understand how I was created and how I'm loved, the same person is also created in the same image, which is God, right? So you can never look at someone less or below. You can never look at someone below or above you, because you're the same. You're all one.
Uh-huh.
Just to wrap up what they both said, it actually says it in, I guess, what we said in Proverbs 3:29, it says,
hold on, let us find it.
Okay,
sorry. Actually, you want to? No, don't give her the phone. Give her the. Teach her. Teach her. We're willing to wait. We'll wait. Don't find a book for her. Just teach her. Go to the start. Index. Come on, Earth. Come on, Earth. You can do it. You find it for her, man. Mentorship. Don't you starting mentorship? You can't just be mentor. You got to mentor others, man. We're willing to wait. She's well enabled. Yeah. Yeah. No, don't worry. The index does that. And it says the page number as well. No, this is Earth's job. The next verse. He's got to grow in teaching. And Ashley's got to believe in herself that you can pick it up in a second. Very easy. See, two birds with one stone, man. We're going to grow some faith. We're going to grow some mentorship, man. Leadership. Straight away. All right, where are we reading from?
Proverbs 3:29. So it just was like when Cody was saying, you know, it comes, well, they were both saying it comes from within, you know, and that can come in like any form. I'll just read it.
3:29, was it?
3:29.
Jesse, you there?
It says, do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. So what SZA was saying, that we're all one. You can't perceive the other person as...
You got it?
You can't perceive them separate from you. So if a situation happens to you, it's because it first started within yourself. Any situation that you've come across. That's just what I have to say right now.
Cool. That's a very good... Perception is actually a very big thing. One mass seed is very bottle. I see the business in bottle. When I see the bottle, I think business. Another person might think cost. Another person might think water. So it's the same component, but we're all perceiving it from a different angle. And whatever you perceive it to be is what it is to you. If you perceive it solely for water purposes, that's all you're going to do. Drink the water out of it and throw the bottle. If you're thinking business, you're thinking, okay, once the water is done, I can spill it in the water. Let me go and cash out to get some coins from it. I can do some business with this. If you're perceiving it, it changes the whole aspect or impact or whatever you want to call it of what the bottle means. Because the bottle in itself is still a bottle. But multiple individuals, because of the perception, see different things of what the bottle is. And the bottle will represent that very thing that they see. And that's a very interesting concept. And we realize that the change is not happening in the component, but within. It is you who decide what the bottle means to you. It is you. Another person can give it out and get some cash back, and they can make I see people got it to $1,000 just collecting bottles. Another person could complain about how he doesn't have $1,000, but he has a bottle. The bottle in itself has yet to change, but the perception that you have of it changes everything about what it means in your life. And so these are not separate events. These are interconnected events. Let's look at another example. We see a huge tree right there, standing up. What really caused the tree to stand up is something we cannot see. the roots, underneath the ground. What was underneath the ground manifested what is above the ground. What is invisible to the naked eye has manifested what is visible to the naked eye. That's always been the prospect of God. That's always been the laws. That has always been. Matter of fact, how the root grows within the soil will determine how it grows without. And everything is controlled by what happens in the unseen world, underneath the ground, underneath the soil of your heart. That is where everything is determined. What we see, big tree, huge branch, has nothing. Nothing. But what is happening underneath is everything. And so when it even comes down to cutting a tree down, if you want to permanently cut it down, cutting it from what you can see is not enough. It would never kill the tree. That tells us a whole aspect about life. Trying to change something from what you can see will not change it. You must go straight back down to the roots of what caused it. Only its roots has the power to change the fruits. And so your reality isn't what you think it is. Because your reality, we think is what we see. But what we see is not what controls what it is. But what we don't see is what has great power to impact what we do see. So that changes everything in terms of how we see life. Only if I change so-and-so habits and so-and-so this and so-and-so so, only then I'll get here. And then, that's not the way. That's a long way, matter of fact. The amount of time you have to cut down each branch and then another branch, cut the trunk down, is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. And when you see the builders come in and they want to uproot a tree, they get a big machine. They don't plan around, chainsaw, big machine. Dig it from the ground, uproot it, finish. Because they know, as long as the roots of your problem is there, your problem shall remain. As long as the roots of your situation is there, the situation will remain. Doesn't matter what you do to the situation, it will remain because the roots is what gives it power. And so, an external situation is not what it seems to be to the naked eye. Because there is always something empowering a physical action. There is always something empowering a physical reality. And no wonder why it goes back to the original question. Is a large majority of population of the world using wisdom? No, they're not. Why? Because they are solely relying on what they can physically see. And that is foolishness. If I rely on solely looking at the outside of the tree, the trunk and the branches and so forth, thinking that taking the branches down would take down the tree, that is foolishness. Wisdom will be to realize what? knowledge. What's the knowledge? The knowledge is the most powerful area of a tree. It's its root. I've taken that knowledge now. Now I must apply. How am I going to apply it? If I need to cut this tree down, I will not spend and waste time cutting the branches down. I will go straight to the roots. And when people come in, they'll see, wow, the tree that used to be here is no longer here. Somebody removed it. Who removed it? Earth did. And then they look at Earth. Well done, mate. Now, when I need a tree to be removed in my property, Earth, I need your help. Help me come remove this tree. Why? Because I've seen the fruits of his works. He's got the knowledge of how to remove it. See, a while ago, that there were some people that came out to remove, to replace the fence at my place. And I was going to do it myself. And I said, oh, it's going to take a while trying to figure out how to do it and then replace it and so forth. So I called up an electrician. He came in and replaced three fans. He gave me the bills. $900. I said, damn, that's almost a grand. I was about to complain. And as I was just going to complain, the Holy Spirit hit me. Boom, something hit me in my head. Why are you complaining? And the reason I was about to complain is because it took him about half an hour to do it. Half an hour, 45 minutes. Very quick. So I was like, wait, I'm paying this guy almost a grand for half an hour work. And then he hit me. No, you're not paying him for half an hour work. You're paying him for the application of knowledge. He knows what to do. And he's applied it, so you must pay him. And so I realized, damn, in life I've been thinking the longer I work, the more money I make. But it's how much I apply the knowledge I have that determines how much I make. And when it comes to value, it's the same thing. I used to think, the more I do, the more I spend time, I got to give people my time all the time for them to value me. I got to be there for this person all day long for them to value who I am. And then I realized, no, it's not about the quantity. Quality. So now I can go to people and say two sentences. I have more value than the whole family have to them. And they'll call me, Joe, Joe. And the beauty of it, when the blessing comes in, they'll only think of me. I got to get Joel on this. And wisdom is it. So I paid this guy. First, I was trying to put my head down like, oh, no, that's a grand going. And then I looked at him, I smiled. I can't be angry at him. He knows the knowledge that is required to change the fence. And he's doing it efficiently in 30 minutes. And he's applying that knowledge effectively because the fence are not working. So I must recompense him for the knowledge he's applied. Not for the hours he's worked, but for the knowledge he's applied. We'll stop right there for today. Any comments, any extra to add? We'll continue from next week.
I was going to say this just a bit ago, but
yeah,
like King Solomon is the one that asked for knowledge, wisdom, understanding.
Yeah.
And he wrote these books and to give us wisdom and understanding, like advice and stuff.
Yeah.
But with his story, if you read on, he doesn't take his own advice.
That's beautiful, right?
Yeah, that's really weird. Just want to leave that there.
Why do you think he doesn't take his own advice? Because there was a shift that happened. Because he wasn't always like that. Something happened that got him carried away.
Yeah, it's got to do with disobeying God. It's got to do with going back to the Egypt with the horses and stuff, but it's like the state of mind. And God commanded him not to, well, commanded the kings not to. It's in Deuteronomy 17:17.
Yeah.
It's the commandment for kings. And yeah, he didn't obey that, and his downfall start to begin.
King Solomon is a very interesting topic. It's a very big topic. But he's an interesting guy because he really got to the end of a lot of things. And so he said words like vanity, vanity, all is vanity, meaningless. He's a very guy. It wouldn't be a topic to just talk about in 3 minutes. This would be a long study because he really got to the end of what this life was all about. He saw it all. And just going back on what we're ending on today is to remember, and if you have time to look at it in your own time, Ecclesiastes 7:12, protection, excellence, life. Now next week we're going to really dig deep into how to obtain this protection. What is it? We're going to look at the Psalm 91, the Psalms of Protection. How does wisdom intertwine with 91? Because we've prayed it all the time, we never really understood it. Oh, it's beautiful stuff. Thank you very much. Cool. Any questions before we end? No questions? That's good. We're done.